Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Start the show.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Get it started.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Welcome again to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Gentlemen, we are officially wrapping up the month of July very quickly. We're very excited to get into some football, some NFL, some college, all that fun stuff. But we do have to wrap up an amazing playoffs for the NBA, and a quick shout out to JQ and Erica. Happy anniversary. Hope you guys had a great anniversary yesterday. That's why we have to segue on Wednesday, but of course that's what it is all about. Happy wife, happy life, all of that stuff, as you guys know the drill too. So again, let's check in with the fellas.
No, not at all.
I say he didn't want to get cut. No, he didn't want to get cut up so you could have another night, man. So hope you spoiled your wife, JQ, man. But again, let's check in with the fellas. Let's start off with the aforementioned JQ, man. What's going on, bro? How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm good. We actually went out to dinner and hung out on Monday night because Ava, our oldest, had a stunt clinic starting cheer. So she had to be there from like 6 to 9. That kind of ruined being able to do it on the day. But we went out the night before, had some dinner, had a couple of drinks, hung out with some friends. We had a good anniversary kind of date night. So it was good, man. Appreciate y'all.
That's good.
Good.
Good deal, man.
What it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rob Ford, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing feeling fantastic. Ready to get this show on the road, baby. To get this party started.
Gary is frozen amazingly with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background, but I think I hear Curtis as well. But let's check in. How you feeling, sir?
Doing good. We're anticipating Curtis's move coming up here. You know, he's secured himself an apartment in the South Waterfront. Got a nice view of the skyline, and it's going to be a way better situation for him. So once that's done, then that's when we're going to have to get together us here as a group and figure out when we can get you guys into town. So
let's make it happen.
We are going to make this happen. Curtis, you
amazing.
On?
Yes, I'm on. Yes, I am.
All right.
Okay.
How you feeling?
Well,
how you doing, Curtis?
I'm feeling, you know, every day above ground is a good day. Every time I wake up in the morning is a victory. But I'm apprehensive because, you know, I'm going to be paying. I'm in the high rent district, so
uh-oh.
I'll be paying on that. And then
that's
I still got to pay.
You, Curtis.
Yes, and I still got to pay on the house. Until it sells. So a little apprehensive.
Well, we're sure it worked out for you, man. Good.
Oh, it's going to work out good for him. You know, what I'll do is after the show, I'll send a text of his apartment and view and everything. And, you know, he'll be able to host somebody there. And it's neat. It's a neat place. It's
going to
be great for him.
Nice. Well, again, we appreciate that. And, you know, we cannot wait to visit, I guess, visit in person. But, you know, until then, Gary, if you can take some pictures, that'd be fantastic. So, we appreciate you as well. Really quickly, we're going to throw the numbers out. As always, 424-243-9519. Rob is doing something in the background. It's all good. But we'll talk about him in a quick second. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THME Sports. He must be making a midnight snack or something like that. And then last but not least, if you go to Facebook.com.
Helps me to stay awake.
Sports with 12, man. No, we get you. We get you. And Talking Sports 12, man, Facebook. I'm just talking about the Facebook page. Rob actually posted a mock draft, so we'll definitely talk about that as well, too. So we'll get to that. But, gentlemen, let's kind of get this party started here. First and foremost, if you would like, let's definitely jump into what's next for Chris Paul. And I know that JQ and Eric are thrilled to have the Bucks win on their anniversary officially. But after that, let's talk about what's next for Chris Paul. I think there's a fire that burns because he basically said, I'm not retiring. We got to talk about what's going to happen with him. Is that a good fit? Devin Booker did not have his best game, looks like. And then obviously you had Giannis just coming through with the 50-pointer. So just everything lined up. Chris Middleton played great. We were talking a lot of junk about him, but he actually – stuck with it in 8 years and just kind of a good success story to see what's happening with the Bucks too. But we're going to talk about what's next for Chris Paul. So, again, we're going to start – we're actually going to flip it up. So I want JQ and Rob to wrap it up. We're going to start with Curtis and Gary and then come back around, if you will, too. So, Curtis and Gary, what do you guys think is next for Chris Paul, if you will?
I don't know. With Chris Paul, this has been what the – how many series has he been up? Has he been up, 2-0 and then, somehow – now it's a team game, and he's just been a part of those teams. But you do as the one of the key figures or the key figure of most of those teams, you got to take some responsibility. You got to look at what you're doing and what you could do better. I'm sure that every player out there – I'm sure Devin – Booker, I'm sure a lot of the players out there are trying to figure out what they could do differently. The problem with he's gonna have to go to a super team if he wants a ring. I don't think he's gonna get one, in a Phoenix or anything like that. He's gonna have to go to one of these super teams and latch onto that. And
I heard Lakers.
Well, I think if that were the case, that would be a good fit, I think.
So what you're saying is he's not on a super team with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton.
I don't think so. Do you? No. Devin Booker, he's got some clutch issues, I guess. He wasn't clutch when he needed to be.
Oh my gosh.
He can have a big game, and then he can fall apart, And you can't have that from your star of your team. And he's the star of the team.
You want to get some credit to the Bucks at all in that or no?
Well, of course you want to give credit to the Bucks. Of course, when they schemed him well, but even with that said, I watched, there were wide open jump shots, wide open three-pointers,
absolutely,
and he just clanking off the back, and you can't do that. If you score 35 points in one game and then you can't hit, you go 2-for-10 from the three-point line in the next game.
He was 8-for-22.
That's no good.
Wow.
You just can't.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I want to say, there was a couple of things I saw here. One of the things I saw, and I saw in one of your texts, that the NBA – hates Chris Paul. Well, when you're the union, rep, you should be hated by management. When you're the union rep, you're not in bed, or you shouldn't be in bed with management. If Delta would have ever been a union, Delta would have hated me because I would have been in just. I would have been in their ass
so hard.
That would have been happening to me real quick. So this fall has, he has that. But what I saw is what it means in the NBA to be a veteran team of teams that got close, just like Jordan took them a while to get past Detroit and Boston. You know, it takes you learning and it takes you desire. When you're a veteran and you're close, what it takes to get to that. I give Phoenix was a young, young team besides Chris Paul. And they just, Giannis, what I saw in Giannis, I saw the same intensity that Jordan had, that Shaq had, that Tiger had. These guys that are mean and intense and don't want to be stopped, they're superstars. That's what it takes sometimes to carry a team to a championship. You're not playing games. You'll take somebody's head off.
Yep.
And let's go. Let's get it on. And that's what I saw in the Greek Freak. And that's amazing.
Freaks come out at night.
Yeah, bring out some
Greek. Yes, they do.
Absolutely. Andre, you supposed to have that queued up, man.
Man, that's one of those that's like, I didn't expect that to come out of your mouth, but again, I can pull that CD out, you know. Double tombstone, so after dark, and at 8 till 12, the party really starts.
Yeah, you supposed to have that queued up, Andre. You the DJ, man.
I can cue it out. Y'all don't want it that loud, man, because I'll come through the speakers a lot. JQ,
yeah,
man.
No, it's going to be crazy loud.
Go ahead, man. What's next?
But,
and, you know, you could have had opportunity to get Chris Paul back in the day. They nixed it back then. And then now, what's next for Chris Paul? Is this even a possibility? Or can I come get back to the final? We'll talk about all this as well, too. So what say you, sir?
Well, I think really it's going to come down to Chris Paul and what he feels about his finance. And before I get to that, this is the problem when your best player is 6'1", 6'2", and he's not 6'6", 6'8", 6'10". Because Drew Holiday was all up inside of Chris Paul. And that's really the reason, if you want to be honest with me. They let him play physical basketball on defense. And when he was able to do that, you know, Chris Paul was also set that he was able to just stay in his jockstrap. He couldn't get around it consistently. And then when you keep getting bumped and banged like that, those open jumpers that Gary talks about, they don't fall. Because your legs get tired, your arms get tired, you know, your shooting motion suffers from getting banged around like that. So I think that's what I took away from it, you know. You could tell he was trying to do too much. He was committing way more turnovers than he ever commits. You know, he just could not get comfortable against Drew Holiday. And sometimes they put Tucker on him, too. And then they would try to switch him on defense on, you know, on Chris Middleton. And I was like, come on, Monty Williams. You cannot ask Chris Paul to try on that switch to guard, you know, Chris Middleton. And Drew Holiday was just a
quick...
They were just beating him to death. I think you saw an old dude get beat to death. Over the course of six games, starting out hot,
stay tuned, coming out,
you know, over the Clippers series, where he, you know, where you know Pat Bev, you know, was being a punk, but you know he wasn't that physical with him like they allowed, like that's likely allowed Holiday to be a physical with him. So I think that for me is for Chris Paul. That's why you got very few like the Isaiah Thomas of the world, where they're your best player at 6 foot, 6 foot one, and can get you championships and lead that team like that. So I think that's what Chris Paul ran into. But as far as his future, he said he wasn't retiring. And what I alluded to earlier is that, you know, if he picks up the option to stay with the Suns, you know, it's like $41 million or something outlandish. Does he choose back and then try to run it back with the Suns and have to go through that Western gauntlet again? Or does he say, hey, I made my money, you know, I've heard reports of him and, you know, Carmelo Anthony coming to the Lakers. But in order for that to happen, they're going to take the veteran's minimum or something very close to it. They're not going to get these multi-million-dollar contracts to the Lakers because the Lakers are tapped out with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So in order for us to make that happen, you know, do you really want to win? Now, if they get Carmelo and Chris Paul to be the third and fourth, you know, banana, they'll be there. To be behind Anthony Davis and LeBron, then you know the Lakers have a real shot to get back to it. But the only way they're able to sign them is if they take less money, and I mean a lot less money, especially in Chris Paul's case. That's
he'll
a lot of money to turn down.
Yeah. He gonna take less money if he really wants to win. He'll take less money. Yeah.
But $44 million to like $2 or $3 million, that's a lot of thriller to give up.
I can get at the most he would get a mid-level exception.
Well, and that's especially when you're long in the tooth. You know, you've only got a couple years left in the league, really, with you know, and be effective,
right?
With a guy like Chris Paul. So, if I were Chris Paul, and I had my choice of going to the Lakers and getting a ring, and getting that mid-level contract, $6, $7, $8 million, whatever it would be, or taking that, I'm going to take the money. At this point in my career,
He's already made money.
It's not like a $2 or $3 million cut. You're talking about going $44 million to $8 million at the most. That's a huge cut, and I agree with Gary. I don't see Chris Paul taking that kind of cut.
Well, I don't want to win a championship, man.
You know what? And that what would really be shitty is if he did that, and then they didn't make it. That would be horrible. You know, all it takes is one injury from, you know, Anthony Davis or something like that, and then you're right back where you started from.
You've taken this big
$28 million pay cut for nothing. You're guaranteed that $41 million. Take the money.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see it happening. I know, you know, Magic Johnson made the comment about if Chris Paul opts out, that LeBron needs to get on the phone with him immediately and call his best friend. I just can't see him leaving $44 million on the table, and not from a team that just made it to the finals. Now, I know they're going to have a lot of competition next year. Golden State's getting Clay Thompson back. Street clothes might be healthy. That's a big might if he's healthy in Los Angeles or not. And obviously the Lakers will be a contender if Street clothes is healthy, right? But so, you know, you got the Lakers. You got Golden State. Utah, Denver is going to have Jamal Murray back. And they were a team that made it to the second round this year without him. And the Clippers, you know, Kawhi Leonard being back as well. Yeah, you never know what Dallas is going to do. And so, I mean, there's a lot of competition out the West, right? But still, there's a gamble for him to go from $44 million to mid-level exception. You might as well take the gamble with the same team and get the money, right, and see what they can do to improve whatever pieces they need on that Suns team, right? I just don't see it. The Lakers could very well get better this offseason. But to me, the realistic chances of them getting Chris Paul, I think it's only about a 5 to 10% chance that he'll take that kind of a cut to go to Los Angeles. I would be completely shocked if he was to do that. So I still think he's going to wind up being back with the Phoenix Suns and give it another go and see what they can do to get better this offseason, whether it be another trade or some mid-level exception type players to improve their roster. But I see him going back and taking that salary as opposed to opting out. As far as the freaks come out at night, the Greek Freak last night, phenomenal.
He did.
I mean, when you talk about 50 points, when you're talking about 14, 15 rebounds, 5 blocks, the 50 points is one thing. The way he was getting back on defense, I mean, he played with energy, he played with effort, he played on both ends of the floor. That's one of the most. That's one of the best all-time finals performances that I've seen. I'm not gonna say it's the best, but it's definitely one of the best. When you look at the way he performed on both ends of the floor in the closeout game, I mean he was unstoppable. Chuck, he was hitting all the free throws, and
Chuck was
17 out of 19 from the foul line, I believe it was.
I know,
and
that was unbelievable.
He was aggressive in the paint. He was going to the bucket. He hit a few jumpers as well. I mean, he was a man on a mission. He was a man on a mission on both ends of the floor last night, and he carried that team on his back. to a championship.
James Harden did that. He won a championship.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, they really let these teams play, though.
We've seen the NBA Finals.
You know, they really let these teams play. They let them bang. They let these teams
win. There's a couple of Portis fouls, if you will, that were kind of like, eh. But other than that, but yeah.
Right. But overall, I think that really the whole playoffs were pretty good about letting them letting it decide out on the court instead of the officials deciding it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like all the way through – like they, it was all, especially the finals, it was almost like going back into time and watching some of these teams from the, you know, from the, like the 90s or something play, because they, they really let them go at it. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was like that Maurice Lucas and Daryl Dawkins picture, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like,
squaring up,
You know
what?
Not
that bad.
Not quite that bad, but yeah.
Yeah,
see, I had a chance to talk with Maurice Lucas. It was probably maybe 8 months, 9 months
name
before
dropper.
He passed away. And he I actually asked him about that, and he said just like this with a real mean face. Like I said, how do you think you'd have done against Dawkins? He said, I'd have kicked his ass. and he got angry. You know, his eyes kind of squinted up, and he says, I'd have kicked his ass. And I'm like, ooh, man, because this guy is massive, you know.
You can't make that stuff up. Lou, you got something to say on that, Lou?
But,
what's that?
You know, basketball has some of that. When I grew up in the park system and playing ball in the parks of Denver, Colorado, Honolulu, Hawaii, Portland, Oregon. There was some mono a mono on all basketball courts.
Honolulu mono.
Yeah, you can't get pumped out there. That's part of the game. That's part of our culture. You can't get pumped out there. You got to be a little tough, a little hard, and you got to get it done. Now, what I want to comment on. Now, Chris Paul is the head of the union, but LeBron James runs the league. Both of those guys want to dribble the basketball. How the hell is that going to work? There's no way that'll work. LeBron wants the ball. He wants to dribble the ball. Chris wants the ball. He wants to dribble the ball. They can't work together. One thinks he's running the league, and one really is. So, what a mess. No chemistry.
Well,
LeBron
played with the Miami Heat. I don't know if you guys noticed, Eric Spoelstra used him at the four quite a bit. You know, he was in the paint a lot. And what's the guy named played at Kansas? They had him bringing the ball up a lot.
Mario Chalmers.
Yeah. LeBron, he brought the ball up the floor a lot with the Heat, too, but he played the four a lot, too. They let Chalmers bring the ball up the floor, and they let LeBron play the four a lot on that team. So, I mean, it could possibly work. I definitely see what you're saying, though. I mean, LeBron is at his best when the ball is in the hand for the most part, but the best I've seen him play off the ball was when he was with Spoelstra and the Heat, and they played him a lot in the paint a lot. Both offensively and defensively. And they had a lot of success with that, too, going with him in the small lineup.
Yeah. But definitely some good details. I love the fact that, you know, Curtis brings out the fact that LeBron runs the league, which is, you know, true statement. But we're pretty assuming that is not going to happen with Chris Paul and the Lakers because of what you talked about financially. And, you know, it's kind of tough because, you know, you said it, JQ, that the best player was 6 foot. And then, you know, Devin Booker, I think he had a lot to get over the summer, man. It's kind of practice. I mean, everyone has, you know, tough games, but just the series was kind of rough for him. And, you know, for him to just to kind of work on his game. And then you got to look at what's going to happen with Cameron Payne, you know, obviously the backup point guard, they can re-sign him because he's going to get some offers too. So, like, I think the challenge is keeping that team together too. I do want to give a shout-out to Monty Williams. That was very classy for him to actually go into the locker room and show some love to the Bucks. That was a very classy thing for him to do as well, too. So, but you know, like you said, we got to look at what's going to happen with that as well, too. Go ahead, Rob. I know you're about to say something.
Oh, my. I mean, you hit it. Yeah, I mean, you covered it. Monty Williams, the classy guy, you know. I mean, he was, you know, the one guy I was rooting for on the Phoenix team, you know, just a class guy all around. And, you know, what he did. So tough, definitely tough to see him lose in that situation. But just a class guy all the way around, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you got our coach, though. You got to stop putting DeAndre one-on-one with Giannis from the house so far. You got to fire niggas and take them out of the kids out. Like, you just can't keep letting that young fella get abused out there. He'll learn from it.
Yeah. But I don't think they had anybody that was going to stop Giannis last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you got to double him or triple him and take the ball out of his head. You can't actually take DeAndre. Yeah. You guard him. No, player. Mm-hmm. You got to do something different.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to talk about how Milwaukee stacks up because, you know, Gary, you mentioned it earlier, too, as far as the fact that Giannis was, you know, able to stay. You talk about a team that drafted him, you say, for 8 years. Chris Middleton, you know, getting that. And you know, how do they stack up, too? Because I know you brought it back to the old school days, Gary. I know whenever we're talking about the old school teams and how you have to get over certain teams, you know, Jordan had to get over the Pistons, and all that stuff makes you tougher, right, to get you playoff tested, to kind of get over that hump, too. But how does Milwaukee stand up, you know, if you will, against the previous champions? And go ahead, we'll start West Coast and bring it back home, if you will.
Curtis, you want to start with this one, or you want me to?
No, I'll start with this one. Okay.
Okay.
The East opened up as soon as LeBron left.
Yep.
LeBron owned the East for this long time. So if he was in Miami or Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
when he left, that opened it up. Now,
that's wrong.
And then when Kawhi
I'm here.
Went up there, Kawhi set up the template. Veterans, mid-level veterans, and big guys that can hit the three can get you a championship.
Hmm.
And this is what they learned. Now, I was lucky enough to have seen Milwaukee play Portland twice. I've seen Lonis and then Milwaukee play twice. One year, they had that Eric Bledsoe. And Eric Bledsoe lit Portland up. He got about 35 points in the second half. They couldn't stop Bledsoe to save their life. The other year, I think it was Giannis and his meanness. Just Portland was at the wit's end. They couldn't stop Milwaukee to save their life. And you know, they only play them once. Both times I saw them, they destroyed Portland up here. They really did. Now, what I want to go back to is my man Damian Lillard. He's thinking about
back to Portland somehow.
He would love to get a championship here in Portland. But how do you do that? And what kind of moves do you need to make? They're trying to figure that out. Because they probably only got 1 or 2 years with him, and he's going to be out of here.
Ben Simmons is waiting for you.
It's a learned thing. It's going through those NBA battles that teaches you, and you got to take from other teams what they know and how they did it. That's why Chauncey Billups here in Portland is kind of important, because he knows. And he knows what kind of people that, you know, because the kind of guys that can get you championships are not your superstars. They're garbage men. They're the guys that guard and put some physicality on other people's superstars. And they don't get the credit, but they do the job. And that's what you got to have.
Well, what I would say with Milwaukee is they stack up very well for a while in the East. It's not really, to me, it's, I think that they're a team that can compete for the Eastern Conference championship. Now, with that said, I think that, you know, they were very fortunate to play a Phoenix Suns team. Because if they would have played some of these other teams at full strength, I think that if they'd have played the Lakers at full strength, I don't think they would have won. And there's several teams in the West. Golden State at full strength, I don't think they'll win. I think they'll stack up. They'll be in the Eastern Conference, but that's where it's going to go. I don't think they'll win another one. It'll just depend on the health of the teams in the West. If they go into the playoffs healthy, the West will win, in my opinion. It won't be Phoenix. Phoenix won't be coming out of the West. They had an opportunity because of teams going down and them getting hot at the right time, and that's what these smaller markets have to capitalize on. They were able to capitalize on it and get it there and win two games, and then that was it. They were done. They couldn't take it up to another level. Now, with the Greek Freak, the way he was able to take his match, his game, to another level in the playoffs, you definitely saw it. His intensity. I mean, just he played phenomenal. It is one of the best of all times. I won't say it's the greatest either because I haven't seen a lot of them. But definitely, he really took his game up, and so did Middleton. But I do see him coming out of the East. But I think he got his championship, and no one can take that from him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, JQ, you can't say that Milwaukee overpaid for Middleton anymore. That's for sure.
He made me eat those words. I will be a man to go here and say that, because even if you pay for 5 years, too much money, bringing the title to a city that hasn't had one in, what, 47 years or something like that, it's worth the money.
50 years.
71. But, 71, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But the same thing you said about Phoenix, I think applies to Milwaukee. Because if you go into them, talk about the favorites for next year, you're going to have, you know, Golden State, you know, with those picks, being able to make a deal. The Lakers, if they're fully healthy. The Clippers, if they get Kawhi and Paul George re-signed. And you look at the East, you're going to say the Nets, if they're fully healthy. I mean, if the Clippers have Kawhi and Paul George, they're going to be one of the co-favorites to come out of the West. I mean, I know you hate Paul George, but that's what Vegas is.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. Thank you.
Yeah, but
what's the problem with Paul George?
He hates Paul George. But if you take a step back and think about what Vegas might do, they're going to look at Golden State, they get Klay back healthy, they're going to put them up there. They're going to put the Lakers back up there because they're going to think the AD and LeBron are going to be healthy. They're going to give the Clippers the same night they gave coming into this season, thinking they're going to have a healthy Kawhi and Paul George, and, you know, bringing back some of the pieces. Or the same thing, the Lakers need to be mid-level guys to fill out the rest of the roster. You go to the East. Yeah. If the Nets are healthy, you know they're going to be the favorite coming out of the East. And Milwaukee's going to probably be really close to where Philadelphia, depending on the Ben Simmons saga. So one of those teams had to strike while the iron was hot right now, and Milwaukee was the one that broke through. But I can't see this for a Milwaukee fan. This is the start of some kind of, you know, two titles in 3 years, some kind of dynasty like that. I think this is a one-off for them. But right now, given the way the East is constructed, I think this is a one-off for Phoenix, honestly, making it to the finals for the way the West is constructed. So I think you have the same conversation for both of those teams. And I think that's what made this finals for everybody so refreshing, because you didn't have, you know, all the people that everybody else told you going into the season was going to be there. You had two teams that were unexpected, and it made it a little bit more exciting and refreshing. So I agree with the take on that. It's going to be, I don't see either one of those teams making it back to the finals next year.
Good for the NBA as well.
Tough to repeat, you know, so I wouldn't think so. And they're not even at the top of the list to win next year, if you believe the early predictions, which I don't really get. You know, the season just ended yesterday, last night, and you're already making predictions on who's going to win. And they're saying, this is from Wyndham, William Hill Sportsbook, They said the top two contenders for next season, well, the obvious choice, the Lakers, of course, but some are saying the Nets have the best odds. While the Knicks are almost at the bottom with 5,000-1. I think that's a bit misleading. That's also ridiculous.
It's pretty generous, man. You guys are gambling this 365 days a year.
5,000-1. I think it's better than that. Give me a break.
Hey, for five dollars, only $25,000.
Yeah,
there it is. For $5, there you go.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I think they're
underestimating him quite a bit.
Yeah.
Nobody picked him this year to go to the playoffs, and look what happened. So you're going to tell me you're going from a 5,000-1? That is stupid.
JQ, my take on this is only this, is that of the two teams, of Phoenix and Milwaukee, I would be shocked if Phoenix made it to the Western Conference Finals.
They're not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be so shocked about Milwaukee.
Yeah,
if Milwaukee
I was getting ready to say the exact same thing.
If they made it to the Eastern Conference, I wouldn't be shocked. You know, I think they're
the exact same thing. I mean, going into next season, I mean, we obviously don't know what kind of trades any of these organizations are going to make as of right now, what's going to happen in the draft and things of that nature. But if you look at the way these teams are constructed right now, going into next season, if everyone is healthy, Milwaukee is at least the second-best team in the Eastern Conference, right? Obviously, you would say the Nets are the favorite if they're healthy, and that's a big if. But Milwaukee going into it, I mean, Ben Simmons, I mean, come on. Hopefully Ben Simmons is watching Giannis. He could be a poor man's Giannis. Giannis is not a great free throw shooter either, but he keeps the gas pedal down. He stays aggressive, you know. And Ben Simmons is passive. He goes out there like he's playing in a skirt. And, you know, you can't say the Sixers are going to be a top two team if Ben Simmons is still on that team. Man. I mean,
they're not playing like
a
team, though.
Yeah. Going into next season.
They was the second team this year with him, though. They was the second team, though, with Ben Simmons all year. They was the two team, weren't they?
They were the one team.
They're the one.
Oh, well, even better. So why would you say that they couldn't be a top two or three team if they were the one team this year and they bring everybody back?
His confidence is shot. Going into next season, if the teams are constructed, and if the team is constructed the way they are now, Milwaukee goes into it as the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. So it would be a total surprise to me if Milwaukee somehow made it back to the finals. I mean, I don't think they will if everybody's healthy, but it wouldn't be a total – Phoenix would be a surprise if they made it back to me, obviously.
True.
It's a big surprise.
We agree
on
that.
West, Klay Thompson, street clothes might be healthy. You know, we talked about this. We don't know what Utah's situation is. I know Mike Conley's a free agent. So that would be huge if they lose him. We don't know what's going to happen with Denver and Jamal Murray, him coming back healthy and, Michael Porter stepping up his game. We got Aaron Gordon for a full season. The West is going to be very competitive. Milwaukee, like I said, they easily go into next season at worst the second-best team in the East.
There it is, gentlemen. We're going to let Rob get to his mock draft. And just to kind of put a bow on this, I'm going to be like Curtis because, you know, again, I am going to throw a slight little love to the Hawks because who knows if they were able to – Trey was healthy too, man. That would have been a totally interesting situation too because, you know, that would have been a better series, I think, too, just throwing that out there too. I'm not going to say that they would have knocked off the Bucks, but I think it would have been an interesting series as well too. So that's my little 5 cents on that too. I'm not expecting them to be like top seed, but – you know, I'm just happy the way that Lakers.
Who is this?
Hey, Rob. Talk about the. You know, I'm talking about the Hawks. Show the love, man. Let's talk about the draft here. Hey, man. Hey. Stop shaking your head, JQ. Show some love, man. Put some respect on that man's name, man. I'm just saying. Let's talk about.
They made Brooke Lopez look like Shaq, bro. Come on, dog.
I love it.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hey.
Let's talk about the draft.
Hey, sweet. You know, since you're talking about the, I'll talk about the draft. Yeah, but since you're talking about the, I know that may add another 5 or 10 minutes, but on you're talking about the Hawks. But you know, the Buccaneers, you thought they overpaid for Chris Middleton, right? Now do the Hawks overpay for John Collins after seeing what the Bucs did with Middleton?
Ooh, no, because. Only if you wake up tomorrow and shoot 43% from the 3-point line. Other than that, hell no.
I do have a feeling, Rob, that they probably are because, you know, Travis Link wants to keep the core together. And he is a young player, man. He's only 23, man. So it's like, damn, you know, he drafted him. As long as it's not John contract, you know, I guess we're fine. But damn, you know, it's like, you know, we'll see what happens.
But he's restricted. He's restricted, so they don't have to do anything. So somebody else puts a crazy offer out there.
They don't have to, for sure. But we'll see what that number looks like. You know, but he's basically said, I want to keep the core together because you don't want to subtract. Because you hear all these crazy trade things, but you want to keep the team intact and kind of add too. So add a backup point guard, add a big, and you know, see what happens. So all good. I was done, Rob. I wasn't trying to take all your time. So let's talk about the NBA draft.
I brought that up.
Really interesting situations here. You got a center, Rob, that I was keeping an eye on, believe it or not. What's his name? He's he had him ranked 19th here. I was looking at it actually before we jumped in. What's his name? Give me 2 seconds here. I got to pull up the page really quickly too. You know, Apton Serpent from Turkey. That was interesting here, but
yeah,
we'll see if he had any movements here. It looks like we talked about Houston, Jalen Green, Mosley, and you know Mobley, if you will. So you kind of had some interesting things to that too. So go ahead, Rob, with the draft, if you will.
Yeah, obviously number one is still a no-brainer, Kay Cunningham, to Detroit. Jalen Green, electrifying two guard, played in the G League. I got him going number two to Houston right now. I got Evan Mobley going to Cleveland at number three. Jalen Suggs to Toronto. So most of all of my mock drafts have had the same five, but maybe not in the exact order. But Jonathan Kuminga is the first time I've had him at a top five. I got him dropped to number seven. Still has a really good chance to be a really good player, a lot of upside. But got Scotty Barnes moving up into the top five now. Great defender, long arms. I don't know if he'll ever be a tremendous scorer in the league, but I think he could be somebody in the NBA like a Derrick McKee type player, be a solid 14, 15 points a night, 8, 9, 10 rebounds, and be the really elite defender in the NBA with long arms.
You said Derrick McKee? Or Eric McKee. I'm going to make sure I said that correct.
Derrick McKee. You don't remember Derrick McKee?
Oh, I remember. Oh, okay. I'll say that. You know, I was thinking somewhat of the Sixers.
I was thinking about Eric McKee
from
the Sixers.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's the same thing I thought about, too.
No.
Yeah, same thing I thought that, JQ.
No, Derrick McKee. You know, he played with the Indiana Pacers all those years.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
cool. I do know. I thought that's why I wanted to clarify what you said. I thought McKee, you know, that's what I was first thinking, too, but. Yeah, you thought about Larry Hughes. Yeah. And I thought I was going all back too, man. But yeah, go ahead, keep going.
But yeah, Scotty Barnes. So I got him moving up to number five. Got James Booknight from UConn at the number six spot. Davion Mitchell. You know, we saw the way he performed in the national championship game. Really has the potential to be an elite defender in the NBA, similar to what you saw from Jrue Holiday here. Got him going number eight to Orlando. Moses Moody from Arkansas, Franz Wagner from Michigan, had him going to the Pelicans. Corey Kispert from Gonzaga, had him going number 11 to Charlotte. Cam Thomas, he's another one I got moved up from LSU, really elite scorer.
Wow.
Yeah, great scorer.
He don't play
the basket
defense,
at will and drop out. So what?
He don't want to play no defense.
Oh,
then
he's going to
play Cam Thomas. He didn't want to play, so but go ahead. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
Keon Johnson, another athlete, the Golden State at 14. Josh Giddey, an interesting prospect who will probably be another 6'8" point guard who can really run an offense, solid shooter. And you mentioned Sengun, center from Turkey. I got him going 17 to Memphis, so he's getting close to that Atlanta Hawks range. But I got the Hawks taking Trey Murphy, 6'9" forward from Virginia. Reminds me a lot of Cam Johnson from Phoenix. You know, a guy who's long, who can really shoot the three and can really defend. Almost remind you a little bit of DeAndre Hunter, who the Hawks already have too. But body-wise, he kind of reminds you of Cam Johnson with his length. with his shooting ability and his defensive ability too. And I got the Knicks. They got two picks, Jalen Johnson from Duke and Zaire Williams from Stanford, since you're wearing a jersey.
There you go, Nick.
They got them going at 19-21. I got the Lakers taking Isaiah Jackson, 6'10 big man from Kentucky. He's still more of a project, but at worst, he's going to come in the NBA and rebound and defend and run the floor. Offensively, his game still needs a lot of work, so he's a little raw on the offensive end, but I have the Lakers taking him at 22. Got Houston with back-to-back picks at 23 and 24, picking up a couple of solid guards, Jared Butler and Jaden Springer, point guards from Tennessee. Sharif Cooper to the Clippers, could be a steal at 25. The guy, he's lightning fast, got a potential to be a pretty solid NBA player as far as running the point guard. As you saw in the playoffs, the Clippers really struggled at the point guard position. They didn't even play Rondo that much. So that was one position of weakness for the Clippers here. I have Trey Mann from Florida going to Denver at 26. And I have Joshua Primo, shooting guard, another shooter from Alabama to Phoenix at 29. And Quentin Grimes from Houston, who I had mostly in the second round. I got him moving up to the end of that end of the first round now. And they got a few second-round steals out there, too. I got IU Dosunmu going to Milwaukee at 31.
Yeah. I like that pick, man. I like it for the Hawks, man.
Yeah.
I like it for the Hawks a little earlier.
JT Thor, an athletic power forward from Auburn, is on the rise. I got him going 33 to Orlando. He's another one that might sneak into the end of the first round, too. So, yeah, some pretty good players still might fall in the second round of this draft.
Yeah, I wonder if the Lakers would like the Clippers get that dude, because they, unless they swing a trade, they also need a point guard, because Dennis Schroeder is out of here. He's gone.
And that he's gone. Contact butt out of there. Yep, yep. And it's crazy, too, because, you know, what I was going to say, I was going to ask you if there are any superstars in the draft that you think about, because, you know, there's you know, we keep hearing, like, you got a lot of these guys that are a lot of shooters from what you keep hearing about. And you got, like, there's a lot of these, you know, a lot of potential, these 6'7", kind of 6'8", guys that are kind of, like, real athletic. And then, obviously, you got a lot of guards, you know, too. So, is there a superstar that we should kind of, you know, be mindful of in this draft, you think, or what?
I think the best two players that got a shot of being a superstar out of this draft is Cade Cunningham, obviously, and Jalen Green from the G League. I think they're the two players with the most potential to be a star in this draft. I think Evan Mobley is going to be a very good player. I don't know if he'd be a superstar. I think he might somewhat be in that DeAndre Ayton range, or maybe even a little less. He can step out and shoot it maybe a little bit more than Ayton. I mean, he can run the floor. He's a good defender, but I think he could be somewhere in that ballpark. But to me, the best potential for a superstar is Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green. Maybe Jalen Suggs with an outside chance at it, too.
Nice. Like, we'll let you guys do some last-minute stuff. I do like Sharif Cooper because he reminds me of it's a good time to see these little mini-guards coming in and just being real explosive and, you know, ambidextrous. I like that pick. For me, I want, like, I need a combo guard that can create his own shot, like, you know, somebody that can play both shooting guard and pointer. That's what I'm looking for, too, and a little defensive, if you will, too. So that's selfish what I'm looking for, and a big 7-foot guy to kind of, like, contend against Robin Lopez. That's just me. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Chavez, call me.
I got Jared Butler from Baylor going 23 and Jaden Springer going 24, so they'll be there in the Hawks range. You might get lucky with a Keon Johnson. I don't think he'd make it to 20, though. I got him at 14 in Golden State now.
I don't think he's gonna make it. Chris Duarte is just a plain shooter. He's a little older, but, you know, again, I don't think he has any playmaking skills. So, kind of looking at his stuff too. But and, you know, obviously Josh Giddey too. You know, so if you can get that big point guard. So, but again,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys have any other comments to talk about. Rob, we always appreciate you putting up the mock draft. Again, you know, I know we'll have that draft coming up pretty soon here as well. And it's pretty exciting, too, to think about what's going to happen in these sleepers. Interesting that you had the Spurs. I think whenever you're looking at their draft, I think there was another guy that they had. I thought they were targeting the center, too, believe it or not, too, from Turkey. But
it's just a good job of that. You kind of had some interesting picks with this too, man. And even seeing Kai Jones go that high too, because I know that is a guy that has a lot of talent. But we just obviously maybe he was waiting at Texas, if you will, too.
Yeah, well, you'll never be surprised if the Spurs take a foreign player, right? They just got a great track record with them. They're coachable guys, as you see with Giannis winning a championship last night. And not to say that the American players are not coachable, but, you know, a lot of these foreign players that come in and they're very coachable players. And so, I mean, you look at the Spurs at 12, I got Josh Giddey going 15. I got Simgen going 17. I got Yusuf Garuda from Spain. You know, I watched him play the other night against the U.S. Olympic team. He's physical. He runs the floor. He's going to be a guy I think is going to be a workhorse in the NBA. I got him going 18 in Oklahoma City right now. So, I mean, don't be surprised if the Spurs take a chance on one of those foreign players, too.
Good deal. Curtis, Gary, I'll let you guys get some last thoughts, and JQ, you can get into it, because I know, JQ, that text was hilarious, man, about the lady that was, like, calling out the Vikings players, by the way. That was hilarious. I do want you guys to wrap this up, too, because there's also the report about Texas and Oklahoma making the move. Man, woo! If that happens, I mean,
the Big 12 is
they're already halfway there, right? But that's like a big move right there, man. Man, SEC.
All those other eight teams will be scrambling to join another conference. The Big 12 will be done.
Yes,
I know Texas A&M is against Texas and Oklahoma coming to the conference, so it's going to be really interesting. Texas A&M has always wanted to be the only SEC team in Texas. So, I mean, that's going to be big. The other schools would have to convince Texas A&M to allow Texas in. And so that's going to be one to watch. I'm surprised this hasn't happened 3, 4, 5 years ago, really. You know, I think the SEC wanted both of those schools a while back. Texas still wanted to see if they could stand alone. But you know, it's going to come down to the SEC convinces A&M to let Texas in the conference. I don't think A&M cares about Oklahoma, but, you know, will they approve Texas coming in the conference?
Right.
Well, how realistic do you think that is? How realistic is it? Rob, what's your take on that?
What, LSU? Oh, I'm sorry. Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC?
LSU. This guy.
Yeah, how
LSU.
Realistic is it?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the early report that just came out. I mean, I guess I really don't know. I'm going to say it's about a 30% chance right now, of it actually happening. I think there's still a lot of things that need to take place. Number one, the SEC will have to convince Texas A&M to get on board, right? And what is that going to take for Texas A&M to get on board with allowing Texas in the conference? Like I said,
money.
I don't think A&M cares about Oklahoma. It's about Texas. And, you know, and A&M has got a recruiting advantage to players in Texas, right, to come play in the SEC conference. They're the only Texas school in the
got
SEC. And so, I mean, Texas A&M has been one of the top recruiting schools here the last couple of years with Jimbo Fisher there. So he's been recruiting his ass off to get players to go to Texas A&M here. And they are recruiting Texas.
Well, you also got a couple other things. So, even if it happens, I think you got a couple of years. One, they got to resolve, like Rob alluded to. Texas has its own damn network on its own. So how does that play into the SEC having the SEC network and how do they absorb that and how they pay it off? And two, I believe I read today that Texas and Oklahoma signed away – I believe some part of their broadcasting deal for their basketball teams until like 2025 to the Big 12. So if they left, which would be really messy unless they pay it off or some kind of breach of contract, the Big 12 will still own the broadcaster rights for the Texas and Oklahoma basketball teams, even if they were in the SEC. And you know the SEC is not going to fucking go for that. So with that being to like 2025, they're going to have to come up with something. To alleviate those deals. I think there was one other deal, too, that was like 23 or 24 with Texas and Oklahoma with the Big 12 in terms of broadcasting rights and whatnot. So I think this is probably maybe laying the groundwork for it, but I don't think it's something that happens next year. You know what I mean? It's going to probably take a couple years to go through all those issues to get those resolved. But I'm with you, Rob. If that happens, the Big 12 cannot stand alone without Texas and Oklahoma. Texas, those are their moneymakers. Nobody wants to see Oklahoma State play fucking Baylor. I mean, it's just the truth. So if you don't have the Red River rivalry to keep you going in the Big 12, it's over.
Yeah, all those other schools will be scrambling from other conferences. They won't be in the Big 12. Oklahoma State's going to either go to the Big 10 or the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, something like that.
Yeah.
So there will be no more Big 12. And West Virginia will probably go to the ACC or the Big East, something like that. Yeah, the Big 12 will be done if that happens. Kansas probably go to the Big 10 just for basketball purposes. But, yeah, it'll be done.
Great. Interesting.
Well, everything's changing. Our world changed because of COVID. And just like my life has changed drastically, the world has changed. And this climate change is real. When the smoke from Oregon reaches New York City, this is not the same world that I remember. It really isn't. So all those changes make a lot of sense, because I think we're walking into worlds that are not going to be familiar for none of us. It's going to be different from here on out. And celebrate it. Learn, grow, and let's come together as Americans. Trump tried to back us all up. We're beyond Trump. We need to come together.
There it is. What you got? What you got, JQ?
Man, you talked about it earlier. I was going to tell you, if you didn't look at that video, man, that lady was so mad with Kirk Cousins when she was seeing the pictures. Just check your text messages after this is over, Gary Curtis, if you didn't look at it. She went completely off on Kirk Cousins, the older, like 40, 50-year-old Vikings fan.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. That, if Kirk Cousins gets wind of that, he's going to be like, I got to go. If this is how he feels about it, I got to go.
I want to check that out.
Wow.
You know, like,
wow.
The one thing that I want to say is I want to make sure that on our next week's topics that we go into this, the 10 and 12, the AFC North and the NFC North. I'd like those to be on the next week's topics. We don't have time to talk about them today or tonight, I should say, but let's make sure we include those next week. Kind of interesting.
I can tell
what
Rob
you guys
to recycle some great.
Oh, I just got it out. Yeah, I know Giannis, huh? There you go.
Wrapping up the show, Rob.
Freaks came out at night last night. Okay, congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks on winning the NBA championship. Hey, AFC North. It's going to be a close race between Baltimore and Cleveland from first place, Pittsburgh third, Cincinnati on the way up, and it's from the sports, NFC North. Until we know something about Aaron Rodgers, we still got to go Packers 1, Minnesota 2, Chicago 3, Detroit, even with the great offseason, still number 4. Freaks come out at night, fellas. Next week, Freaks going to be back out at night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, people. Next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Milwaukee, tune in at 10 p.m. West Coast, 8 p.m. We're going to let the music
y'all crazy,
out.
Man. Y'all crazy. I ain't got nothing, man. Y'all be easy. Y'all have a good night.
Gentlemen, it's always been a pleasure to share the field of battle with you guys. Curtis, Gary, we cannot wait to see you guys on the next expedition, if you will, whenever we get the new apartment. Curtis, we're going to fly out there. If you guys can somehow, again, help me out to renew my passport,
amazing. So whatever you guys have connections, man, to help me renew my passport, that'll be fantastic. So that's my little 2 cents too, man. Because why are there like 2 billion people in the queue, man? Well, what's going on, man? Is everyone trying to go somewhere? Why is it so backed up, man?
We've been locked down for a year and a half. They're trying to get out.
Well,
Norman, you guys are great.
It all depends. Yeah. Like I said, my world has changed drastically. But one thing that hasn't changed, the fun I have being on with you guys and the joy I get with being with the 12th Man Sports Podcast. This has been a wonderful thing for me to be part of.
We appreciate you, man. The fact that we've been able to get through this during the year has been keeping it, you know, we've been pretty consistent too. So that has been pretty cool. Not sure how we can get rid of Lou because he just always pops on. I keep changing the date. He always keeps finding us, man. So, but other than that, every time I hang up, he calls right back in, man. So it's just, I'll be hanging up two or three times. He keeps calling back in. I'm like, something's wrong with technical difficulties. He'll be calling right. What's wrong? I'm like, oh, man. So, anyway.
Every time Lou's gonna listen to go back and play these shows and hear you talking about them.
I don't think he's gonna listen to the show, but you know, I don't know. I don't know what's happening sometimes, you know. But it's a whole different conversation.
Oh well,
what
the one night? The one night.
Oh man,
I wonder what they're doing over there. So anyway, but no, you guys are awesome.
All right, y'all.
Get some rest until next week. Next Tuesday night is when we're gonna go down. Correct.
Next Tuesday.
All right.
Anybody
gentlemen,
got any anniversaries next Tuesday?
Good. Yep. Be good. Don't get in trouble, Gary.
Hey, let me tell you guys.
No bars in the middle of nowhere.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you guys something funny. One of my nephews from the Bay Area is on his way up. He's going to Tacoma, where most of my brothers and sisters are. But he's going to stop here. And I think he's going to spend the night here overnight.
Okay.
I was with all of them. I have three nephews from the Bay Area, and I have like another 20 that are nephews and nieces, and they're all in Tacoma. And I was telling them that one out of every seven person in the world is Chinese. And they couldn't believe it. Oh, that's not true. Then I told them, if one of your nieces and one of these girls marries a Chinese guy, it's going to be one in six. They lit up. They lost their minds. It was so funny.
Wow.
Curtis, I don't know where you come from.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't even know. That's good stuff. I'm going to have to look that up. So, you know, man, Onika Noku just went over. Man, our guy had some surgery. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to share the field of battle with you guys tonight. Again, next week, we're going to kick it back on Tuesday. Please be safe. Keep those funny texts going. Like you said, guys, listen to that Twitter rant from that to Viking fan. That will make your night. So, again, we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, y'all.
All right.